John and Lance.
I think we talked about this. The number of old people snorting cocaine now?
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Looking at so many different fantasy punishments.
Yeah.
And here's these guys. They run a 40-yard dash to get their draft order.
Oh, yeah. I've seen these guys before.
Yeah.
And they're older guys, right? They're like 30-somethings, maybe.
Yeah,
there's pull. I've seen them pull up on. Yeah. No, there's been hamstring injuries.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's for draft order. I saw one the other day where this guy had to put a puzzle together.
Oh, my God. The beans?
Yes. And he eventually tore out. He eventually broke the door to get out. They were trying to trap him in there. After he had been in there for like 14 straight hours or 15 straight hours, maybe it was more, he literally, you could see the door in that closet was broken. It was all fun and games until literally tortured him.
It was beans, all these yellow beans that all looked the same and was a 1,000-piece puzzle.
It's supposed to be one of the hardest puzzles to do. And he was in there trying to work on that puzzle. And then they'd open the door, look at him real fast. And he started looking, not scary, but you could see the look in his eyes like, this isn't funny, and I think it's starting to drive him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
My son, I told you this, my son is lost in high school. He had to take a blow-up doll and sit her in a chair while he sat in the other chair at Papacito's and order for him and for her, and he couldn't say what he was doing. And he had to do that in high school, which was pretty clever. Then, in college, he lost again because of injuries, just decimated his team. So this last year, he finished last, so his punishment was he had to get up and do like a 5 to 7 minute open mic set at a comedy place where it was written for him. His comedy set was written for him by one of the other guys in the league. And it wasn't bad. It was actually pretty decent, but that one, boy, that was, whew.
Well,
I heard about another one where a guy, it was the same thing where he had to do an open mic set. And they were going to write all the jokes and give him note cards to read off of. So he got up there, and they handed him the note cards as he got up. That was part of the deal because he couldn't see the jokes in advance. They handed them to him, and they were all blank.
Oh, no.
So he had to sit on the mic and try to kill off 5 minutes with no jokes. Nothing. We have seen the guy who – I'm sure you saw him, John. The guy who went out with a full set of golf clubs – and had to pretend to hit.
Yeah.
Actually, he had golf clubs. He had golf clubs. And he would swing. He'd pretend to tee the ball up, and he had to play a whole round with two other guys who he couldn't tell them what he was doing. And he would play the whole thing out. And it got to the point, like, midway through, they're like, is that a good shot? Like, they would ask him. He's like, it faded into the – I'm right there near the woods. I'm going to have to see if I've got a shot. And he'd putt, you know, like he'd say he made this putt. One time he holed out from the bunker. And he had a pretty good swing too, by the way. But yeah, that was his hole, and he couldn't talk about that. And these two guys, they just had to play the round with a guy who was swinging at an invisible golf ball the entire time. And at one point he goes, don't worry about walking in my line. You're fine. So that was one I saw. That was a pretty clever one. Have you seen any, Sean?
I saw the one with the what that was basically with isolation, like a torture experiment.
Yes, it was torture.
With that one, yeah, we've done the I've seen the different variants of the blow up doll one where it's like a teddy bear or something.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
Here's one that I heard a while back from one of my old producers on radio. They had to put. Earmuffs. I'm just telling you now, earmuffs.
All the kids running
late to school. If you got kids running late to school or whatever, this is your warning. Gus, if your kids are headed late to school in Indiana, I'm just giving you the warning now.
Gus, all right, kids to school on time.
Yeah, very late.
If you finished last in this league, and I think this guy's brother had to do this, you had to put a sex toy. A prominent sex toy that's, you don't need any deciphering. It's clear what it is. You had to keep it in plain view in your car in the back seat for 3 straight months. And you couldn't hide it. It had to stay in plain view of your car.
That's
that was one.
Suction to one
now,
of
that
seats.
Was before I used to hear about all these punishments. That was when I heard that. I'm like, good Lord. Are you kidding me? Now, it seems like fantasy punishments are now the stand-in for when fraternities used to haze, and now that they can be arrested or their chapters taken off, it's like, because I was thinking, my buddy told me about when they were hazed in his fraternity, they had to drink a fifth of vodka that was behind somebody, and then run to another house. They had to get to another house with pledge masters behind them with paddles or whatever it was. And they had to go to this other house and then finish this other bottle. And I'm not saying, you know, there's terrible things that have happened. And I'm not condoning this. I'm just telling y'all a story that happened. And it may happen at the university that you like to cheer for, Sean. Yeah. And he said, then it ended. So all of them were drunk, but they also had been running, so they were kind of sick to their stomach. They put them all in a closet, turned the lights off, put a speaker, a big ass. Now these are when there's wired speakers on the stereo, so it was a big ass wired speaker, not when it's easy now because you Bluetooth it. So they had to put the wired speaker in there, and then they turned on a strobe light, so it's a nonstop strobe light, the speaker, and they blast Love Shack by the B-52s, and they had to stand there for 2 hours listening to Love Shack with a blasted with a with strobe light going.
It'll ruin you.
And this is after they had had 2/5 of vodka and been running. They had probably run about a mile and a half. And he just said it was literally terrible.
It's like actual CIA torture. Like that.
Yeah,
is actually,
it sounds like waterboarding.
That
type
is
stuff.
Actually what they do to torture.
Yeah. Well, and I heard another one. And there's another one. And there was another one. And I'm not going to say it out loud on the air. There's another one I heard. Now, I'm not going to say it out loud on the air because I just feel like I could get in trouble just for telling this story.
No.
But I am going to tell Sean during the break, and I am going to text you, John.
All right.
This is one that I could see becoming a fantasy football punishment as well.
I wonder if we can, like, track this where it's like, because there has been in recent years kind of, I don't want to say a crackdown, but at least like a, hey, let's ease up, you know, age of social media with some of these fraternity hazing type of things. You hear, you know, once, twice a year, there's someone gets in huge trouble for their hazing. And then
you get your whole group, I know somebody who got, I mean, it's not like his fraternity hadn't been doing this stuff anyway, but his class was the one that, like, yep, got him kicked off campus.
Yeah, and the, you know, kind of crackdown on the hazing with the rise of fantasy punishments, I kind of think there is
something there, like, hey, let's just take these to our fantasy leagues.
Life finds a way kind of situation.
Yeah, because the one of my favorites, and John, I know you saw it, was the guy had to do the sexy, he did the photo shoots, like the George Costanza photo shoot where the guy had to do sexy in his underwear, sexy photo shoots, a calendar where he did 12 different shots. So everybody in the league, that guy had to prominently display his calendar in his office with, here's January, and he's in his underwear on a bearskin rug with his hands on his chin with his feet up, stuff like that. I thank God our league that we have, John, we've never had that. In all the years we've been going, there's never been a punishment. I couldn't be in a league with a punishment anymore.
No.
These punishments are just too, they're too, I just, no thanks.
No, I'm glad we don't.
I think
I would have 1 year when I had all the injuries and I was like, that's it. I'm not spending any more money on this dumb waiver wire. I have no chance. Yeah. I think 1 year I may have finished last. 1 year.
Yeah, I'm glad. No, that puzzle thing got me.
Should we do one for the ESPN league?
Do what?
Should we do a punishment for the ESPN league that we're doing in Lake Charles?
I really didn't put much into that last year.
Maybe that's why we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We got to think about it. Maybe come up with something at Lake Charles. We'll talk about it.
Okay. All right, let's think about it. Anybody out there that's going to be in our league, you got a suggestion. Or Art will have a suggestion, I'm sure.
I'm sure he will. Or if you had a really good one in your league, you want to tell us about 713-780-3776. The Astros, back in action today against the Angels. Your Texans have a preseason game on Thursday. When we come back, maybe talk a little more Texans. I was out at the walk. It was just a walkthrough yesterday in NRG. I'm sorry.
They usually practice together for 2 days, but now it's just one.
Just one, because there's just too many fights. And they had a bunch of fights last week. And I just Googled NFL camp fights. I was able to see quite a few videos last week. And a lot of times they're happening on their own teams, obviously.
Well, you wouldn't be able to do it if you didn't have electricity. You got to have electricity. True. Everybody's got to have electricity. And how much do you spend on your electricity? That's a key. How much are you spending getting electricity to your home or your business, and especially your business? The bottom line is the bottom line. Do it better. Do it cheaper. Do it. It's electricity. Everybody's is the same. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Is there better electricity out there? Not sure. Don't know. All I know is I just want my electricity, and I want it at a better price. And that's why I went with Champion for 18 years while I was in 18 of the years. I wish I'd have found them sooner. I was in Houston for 30 plus years, and I wish I'd have found them sooner. Because Champion Energy, although I'm not sure they were around sooner. But here's the deal is if you're looking for the best way to get that electricity to your house at a better price with excellent service, everything about it was perfect. You need champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560. Stop spending more. Spend less. Champion Energy.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Elliot's been waiting. Let's get him in here to start this segment. What do you say, Elliot?
Hey, morning, guys. Good to hear you today. Macy with the Skinnerd. I love it. Way better than Dell. Speaking of fantasy, had a couple of questions, but mainly a lot of young quarterbacks in the league showed something last year, and they still haven't hit their full ceiling. Looking at like a Trevor Lawrence with Cohen and Jackson Dart and Tyler Shuff and Drake May and Ward with the number one now and all those guys, who do you think's going to make the biggest leap? I guess you could even add CJ, even though he's a howdy face crumb bum. You can add him to that list. Which one of these guys you think takes the biggest leap this season? Is there one that you think makes a jump to that top S level of quarterback?
I don't think we should include CJ just because this is year four for CJ. So for this exercise, the biggest jump for me, John.
CJ ain't making a jump to the very top anyway, though.
No.
Right?
No.
CJ would be awfully difficult to get into that top two.
Well, he's just trying to return
Drake to form. May's got a shot because he's right below now.
Yeah, but
I mean,
he took a
May
big...
Drake May has another big year where he's...
But didn't he take a big jump already? Who's the next guy to take the jump? I mean, Drake May performed...
He's not in the Josh Allen... He's not in the Josh Allen, Joe Burrow... he's not in the top
But he did
tier.
Finish second
he's
MVP
probably in the
voting,
second
right?
Tier.
But he finished second in MVP voting.
Yes, right.
Like, who do you think is going to come out of nowhere?
So if he does that again, out of nowhere.
I mean,
you know who might?
I don't think it's Bo. I don't think it's Bo.
I'll tell you this,
maybe Bo Nix.
Kyler Murray might have a shot.
Huh? I mean, he's not a young quarterback, but that'd be a redemption story. Yeah, you know, he's throwing to Justin Jefferson. He's throwing to some pretty good wide receivers.
Kind of is a young quarterback.
So under some pretty good wide receivers.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, you know who I'm going to say?
Young quarterbacks you're talking about.
I don't know if this guy counts or not, but I'm going to say Caleb Williams. Because Caleb got a lot better last year.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Caleb Williams is going to be the next up.
So we want to... They want to set the all-time scoring record. They want to blow... He said, We are going to definitely score on people. So I mean, he wants to set the all-time scoring record. That's one of his goals this year.
Well, I mean, then
who else could? I think Caleb Williams is probably the best. Yeah.
Yeah. For my Then I think, John, we'll get you on a reset there. But, yeah, I think Caleb Williams is going to be my guy because I liked what I saw last year. He's got Rome Odunze and Luther Burden, and they're both coming up and getting better and better. Last year, Caleb went from 20 touchdowns and 6 interceptions as a rookie to 27 and 7. He threw for almost 4,000 yards. Like, you know, one could say that Caleb Williams had a year last year. There's a pretty damn good year. It still feels weird that people sleep on the Bears. They're the second or third highest in their, you know, to win the division. I think they're the best team in their division. And Caleb Williams, to me, he's very dialed in. His completion percentage is only 58%, but he's very dialed in with, from what I was told there in Chicago, is that he is talking like Ben Johnson. In a mic'd up segment where the Bears had access to everything that was said, they said they couldn't believe just the way he talked was everything that he was parroting, everything that Ben Johnson had been coaching, that it had sunk in with Caleb Williams, and that he's a different guy now. I mean, he still has his own personality, but he's really taking on more of a serious leadership role and things like that. So I think the Bears are dangerous this year, and I think Caleb Williams, you know, their sack total went from 68 as a rookie down to 24 last year, John. I mean, that's a big part of him. Number one, they invested in their offensive line. But number two, I think he's starting to figure things out. So,
well,
I would
say
Caleb
Williams.
The
ball as long.
What's that?
He didn't hold the ball as long.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he was better. He was much better at getting rid of it and throwing it away or just making better, quicker decisions.
Fourth quarter comebacks, 6. He led the NFL with 6 fourth quarter comebacks.
That's a lot. That's huge.
It tells you a couple things. Number one, you're a team that is not good enough to just, you know, grab the lead and take the lead and hold the lead. You're not there yet. But it also shows the ability to, you know, to make things happen in the fourth quarter. CJ's, wow. How many fourth quarter comebacks? Because it has to end in a win, right? So Caleb Williams had 6 last year. And as I mentioned, part of that is your defense, you're giving up leads also. Like, you're not in the lead in the fourth quarter. So it's not like you have an elite defense where you just lock down. How many fourth quarter comebacks does C.J. Stroud have in his career?
In his career?
You can do last year and then you can do career.
I don't know. I don't remember many last year. Let's see. I remember the Bengals. I remember Tampa. I remember...
That's okay. The answer is 0.
0 last year.
Yeah. And for his career, 4. 2.
2?
2.
Tampa?
Tampa.
Wasn't the Bengals?
No. They lost to Tampa. It was, they beat the
No,
the Saints?
Tampa game.
Oh, Tampa
at home.
The Monday night game. Yeah.
No.
It was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Rookie year.
Yeah. The rookie year.
Yeah.
Was it Tampa or the Saints?
It was Tampa.
Was Tampa? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one.
Didn't they come back against Joe Burrow at Cincinnati?
Like, I felt like they had two. Did they not win that one? I felt like they had
they
two.
They won that game.
Was that last year? Because he had also had one in 2024.
No, that was 24.
It wasn't last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2024. Well, you named them both.
Yeah.
Those are CJ's two that he's ever had. Game-winning drives, which game-winning drives must be an offensive scoring drive in the fourth quarter or overtime that puts the winning team ahead for the final time. CJ has had 7 during his career. 7 during his career.
What was that? What was the qualifier?
It has to be for the final time. A fourth quarter drive that puts his team ahead for the final time.
And 2 is last minute wins?
No, 2 is comeback.
2. Comeback.
Yeah, the fourth quarter comeback must be an offensive scoring drive in the fourth quarter with the team trailing by 1 score, though not necessarily a drive to take the lead. Only games ending in a win tie are included. Those are fourth quarter comebacks. So
Davis Mills had one last year with the Jags and has half as many as C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Davis Mills' stats.
Davis has one against Indianapolis, too.
Davis Mills last year had 22. Two fourth quarter comebacks.
Davis had two?
He had two last year.
CJ last year, and he had one against Indy to
get CJ Stroud. Yeah.
Now, you're also behind. So, you can't have a fourth quarter. Good teams don't have as many fourth quarter comebacks, or quarterbacks don't, because you know why? They take the lead and they stay there because they got a good defense. Or they keep adding points. You have fourth quarter comebacks, that means you're playing a lot of one-score games. And hopefully the Texans don't have many fourth quarter comebacks this year because they're blasting people.
Yep.
That is a real, like we used to think about that with Joe Montana. That's a real thing. Joe Montana, Tom Brady, you don't want to give them the ball with any time left because you know what they're going to do. Yeah. And
Mahomes.
Mahomes for sure. Maybe the most that I've ever seen in my life of watching football. Joe Montana had it for sure.
Yep.
And because we always talked about that. I mean, he ruined my dad. When my dad was his first year coaching college football was Joe Montana was at Notre Dame and beat Houston and heartbreaking Cotton Bowl where the Cougars just
soup
had
bowl.
It. The chicken soup game, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you had Caleb Williams really developing. That's where he got the nickname Iceman. I think he may have given it to himself. And then he tried to trademark it, and George Gervin went, "Hey, wait a minute. I was Iceman way before you.
Remember me?
Yeah, just because you have fourth quarter comebacks, that's because you stunk in the third quarter. Cut the crap, young man."
Did you all see the fight at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, God, that turned into everyone ganging up on the fat guy.
On the fat guy, just sitting there.
He got punched like a thousand times.
Getting the snot beat out of him.
He did throw a drink, kind of kicked it off.
Yeah.
But, I couldn't really tell what that was, like who the fans were. The one group of guys was just wearing gray and blackish kind of. Were they White Sox? Did they play the White Sox? Was it?
Yeah, they're playing the White Sox.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep. So that's what it was.
That's what happens.
Although I did see a Cub fan punching another Cub fan, too, though.
Yeah. No. You just hit whoever. Hit the one you're with.
But, I mean, the stance, people were flying around.
Four of them were beating the snot out of that fat Cub.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were flying. People were getting tossed, like pushed down the steps three and four rows. It was pretty.
Yeah.
Whew. And there was somebody with a camera right there.
Cubs White Sox fight. Yeah, Wrigley fight. Holy crap, it's a good one. We got a break, 713-780-3776. Come on, hang with us.
Hey, this is Rich Eisen. Coming up on Tuesday, brand spanking new, freshly minted Hall of Famer Drew Brees joins us. We preview the Jaguars season in Four Downs, and it's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
Rich Eisen, noon to 3 on ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, we got the Bills first up. It's almost a month away, but DJ Moore's dealing with an ankle. Connor McGovern has an injury. Keon Coleman is in a boot. So, couple of their wide receivers. DJ Moore should be okay. DJ Moore is underrated. DJ Moore was a big pickup for them. DJ Moore.
I'm waiting to see. Like, he's one of those guys that I've never fully been on board with. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't know.
It probably is just you.
Probably, but I didn't think he ended up being the player that Chicago thought they were going to get. And now he's going to Buffalo. He's 29 years old. He's a, you know, he's, we'll see. We'll see how he does. For Josh Allen, I'm thinking that'll be just a welcome. It'll be a welcome addition to a wide receiving corps. It's pretty average.
Yeah, it's always been pretty. I mean, he hasn't had that. Well, they tried with Keon Coleman, but he's got work to do. He had 85 targets last year, 50 receptions. I'm not sure how much of that is on him. But he has been productive. 4,000-yard seasons, 1,966. He's been very productive throughout his career.
Yeah, he has. He has. I just felt like it has.
Well, he had 1,300 with Chicago. He had 966 last year. It fell off.
He had 1,300 the year before?
Yeah.
In the rookie year for
his first year with Chicago.
Caleb? Yeah. Maybe I'm just being too hard on him.
96 catches of 1,300 yards.
No. That was not Caleb's rookie year. Who was quarterback right before that? Before Caleb Williams?
Fields? Was it Justin Fields?
Oh my God. There's no way Justin Fields threw for 1,300 yards. That's too much.
Yeah.
I'll have to look, but it was, he did have 1,300 touchdowns.
Yeah, 24 was Caleb Williams' rookie year.
Yeah, so the quarterback that year, I'm looking at the stats right now, was Justin Fields threw for 2,500 yards, and Tyson Badgett threw for 859. So they had, they threw for 3,096 total passing yards that year, which is terrible. And DJ Moore had 1,300 of those yards. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the only person you threw to.
And you think defenses didn't know it? He had 140 targets.
100? Wow. Yeah, I'm looking here. 136 targets, 96 receptions, and 14.2 yards per reception. That's a damn good year.
Oh, that was Justin Fields' year, yeah. The next year, Caleb Williams had 140 targets.
But then the stats were down, huh?
Yeah, 98 catches, but, well,
the yards
obviously
were down,
Caleb was not throwing it down the field like they were.
No, a lot of short check downs.
A lot of short stuff.
Yeah. And that was actually Ben Johnson's first year, too, I think, right?
No, Ben Johnson
was a rookie last year.
Yeah.
So we're not worried at all about their receivers.
Buffalo, I am.
You are?
Yeah, that's why I'm not all in on Buffalo.
Well, Keon Coleman hasn't been.
No, Keon Coleman's not the guy. They got Khalil Shakir, who's he's a feisty guy, but he is what he is. You dump it down to him, let him get some yards after the catch. Like, he
a lot of crossing routes.
Yeah, Fitz is a good wide receiver three type of guy, a good third receiver option, and DJ Moore. So they're still missing somebody, but that's fine. But we'll see if DJ Moore can fit those pieces.
James Cook is what you got to worry about.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about the Buffalo Bills. They need to worry about us.
They're
not worried about the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are, this is a house of horrors for Josh Allen. So until he proves he can get out from under the thumb of this defense, I'm not worried about it. Once again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The worst line I've ever seen made was Buffalo being a 1.5-point favorite to start the year at Houston. Knowing that Josh Allen doesn't play well, the fact that he talks about it publicly, so it is definitely a thought in his head. And then you have CJ on what people are calling a revenge tour. CJ on a revenge tour, like that one girl out of Furious. You saw what that girl out of Furious is doing when she's on her revenge tour.
You think that's CJ?
I think CJ's going to be metaphorically killing people.
Yeah. Warren Sharp made a long, and he said so many things that are just so obvious about the injuries and the running game and the offensive line and everything else. He says,
for the Texans you're talking about?
Talking about CJ, yeah. It was about CJ, and it was about, the problems that they had. They didn't have Joe Mixon. They didn't have receivers that were it was fifth worst in the league with injuries for the wide receivers. The offensive line was one of the worst in football. Blah, 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 blah. And he can't believe that CJ and Bryce Young are being mentioned in the same breath. Is CJ that much better than Bryce Young right now? I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I think he is, but Bryce.
Yeah, I think he's better.
Bryce was playing a little more consistently last year. I don't know. I don't hold Bryce in real high regard right now. So, but he
there
is
was
getting
a
better.
Time mid season though we were saying, hey, maybe Bryce Young is better than CJ. Maybe they made it. They did it right with it picking him first.
I don't think the answer. We don't have our answer yet, but we'll be a lot closer after this year. Bryce Young has improved every year. 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, rookie year, second year, 15-9. Last year's 23-11. Interception total is still higher than you like. He threw for 3,011 yards. No real big deal there. Started 16 games. Is averaging 188 yards passing per game. Like, you know, that's I don't know if I'm ready to say he's better than CJ. I'm not ready to say that. He's getting similar. Better.
I think
he's progressing, and CJ has been regressing. Yep. So yeah, it's closed. The distance between the two has closed.
Yes, last year it closed. I don't think there's any question. Let's see, CJ threw for 3,041, 19-8. I mean, he only played 14 games, and Bryce played 16 games. Mm-hmm. He threw for 3,011 and 23-11. So I don't know that it's that. Saying that they're not somewhat similar, I think, is a little off by Warren. But Warren Sharp says, look at the stuff around him. Okay. He had Rico Dowdle last year, right? And Chuba Hubbard. He had a little bit of a running game. He had DJ Moore. He had Ted Aroa.
He didn't have, like, Bryce Young's not filled up with talent
not,
around him.
CJ has Moore. There's he more. Had, yeah. Ted Aroa and who else?
And their defense is not. Tet McMillan was rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And they had Xavier Leggett, but he's not been a very good player for being a first pick of the draft. One stat that's kind of interesting, CJ last year had 19 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. His touchdown percentage was 4.5. His interception percentage was 1.9. The touchdown percentage for Bryce Young was 4.8, slightly ahead of CJ. His interception percentage is 2.3. That's ahead of CJ, and that's not a good thing. You don't want to have a higher interception percentage. One stat that I always find to be an interesting stat, they have it in a run game, and this is the first time I'm seeing it with passing game, is passing success rate. So what it is you have to, if you need to gain at least 4% of the yards required on first down. So a first down pass, you need to throw, if it's first and 10, obviously, you need to complete a pass for 4 yards or more. So that's considered a successful play. On second down, you have to gain 60% of the yards required on second down. So if it's you know, second and 10, you would need to gain at least 6 yards. Second and 8, you know, 60%, 4.8. So you can just do the math on it. And then on third down or fourth down, you have to gain 100% of what is needed. So it means you're converting on third down with your pass. First year, CJ was 40. I think this is actually a pretty good metric to start keeping an eye on. In his first year, CJ Stroud was 46.7%. Last year, he was 43, or the year before, he was 43%, which went down. Last year, 44.4%. So he hasn't made it back to his rookie year yet. That feels right. That feels accurate. Bryce Young, his first year, 36.5. The next year, 39. Last year, 44.2. So he's showing improvement in that metric. He has shown improvement as a quarterback every year. It seems to track. Last year, CJ was 44.4. This year, Bryce Young was 44.2. So look how close that is between the two of them. So when you ask that question and you look at the data from last year, yeah, I mean, it feels like those two guys are really close to each other.
Well, right, how much do you look, though, at with the stuff around him? At the running game, at the offensive line, at the injuries of wide receiver.
So what running game was, like, Carolina does not have it.
Rico
good.
Had a good year.
He had a good run. He had a good run. Rico Dowdle did not do that for the whole year. He wasn't given that opportunity for the whole year. He did run for 1,076 yards. But remember, if you remember his game log, like, he was killing it over a stretch of about 5 or 6 games. I mean, just absolutely killing it. Went over, you know, he had over 200, I want to say, 2 different times. So he absolutely killed it for a little bit. But Tet McMillan, you had rookie, you know, the rookie of the year. But CJ has Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, CJ Stroud, Jaden Higgins. He's got better, I don't know, to me, I think he's got better talent than what Bryce Young has over there in Carolina. They had Rico Dowdle, who started 11 games, as you mentioned, ran for 1,076 yards, and Chuba Hubbard came back. He wasn't really injured for very long. He just got beat out of that position.
CJ had one game where he had a run 100-yard back.
Yeah. No, they didn't have. I mean, Joe Mixon wasn't there last year, so I don't really give a big advantage to C.J. Stroud by any stretch in the running game. I mean, Rico Dowdle was better than your running game. Period. Yeah. That's true.
He had three games. He had a 206. He had 183, and he had 130.
Now, Ted McMillan had 1,014 yards receiving and 7 touchdowns. I mean, he was rookie of the year, 70 catches. He's not better than Nico Collins as a player. Not yet. Not yet. But then the second receiver, I mean, good Lord, this is a DJ Moore effect. The second receiver was Jalen Coker with 394 yards. Tet McMillan had 1,014 receiving yards, and second is Jalen Coker with 394 yards. So the second place had, you know, was over 600 yards less. That's unbelievable how he was locked in on one guy.
Well, it makes it even more unbelievable that the, you know, the defense knows that, and they're going to make sure to do everything to stop Tet from getting the ball.
Yeah, and Tommy Trimble was the top, was the leading tight end, 249 yards. So yes, C.J. Stroud for sure had better players around him than Bryce Young. This is kind of an interesting year. We certainly, I don't measure C.J. Stroud against Bryce Young. I don't measure the Texans against the Lions. I'm measuring C.J. I just want C.J. to play well and the Texans to win a Super Bowl or to compete for a Super Bowl. But if you really just want to break down the two of them, it is a much – that looked like that answer was done after their rookie years.
Yeah.
And now it's become a really – it's become a much closer discussion. And that third down success rate, you can find that on Pro Football Reference. That third down success rate, passing success rate for quarterbacks, seems to be a pretty good number when it comes to tracking the year a player has had. Kind of scary accurate in some regards. I'm thinking quarterbacks who are not very accurate. I'm going to check Caleb Williams because I just got done telling you that he had a much better statistical year than C.J. Stroud. But when I look at his quarterback success rate, for example, on third downs, it was 42.9. So it was lower than Bryce Young and C.J. So it didn't really tell the full story for Caleb Williams.
How about the story that Tommy Stark told yesterday on Twitter? He said this: Billy Brown is going to help my Brown go down. Thanks, Billy, over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And he put me and you in it. He added us both. And he sent the letter that Billy Brown sent to him, to Tommy Stark. Billy Brown said, "Good morning. Yes, we can include a free water heater on your quote. We will be out Saturday between 10 and 12. Thank you so much, Billy, Aqueduct Plumbing Company."
Yeah, that sounds about right.
How about that? A free water heater doing the job for Tommy Stark. Making the Brown go down, not having the Brown stay up. The Brown will go down because of Billy.
Yeah, right? And sometimes the Brown is just clogs in your drain in the sink. So it's just a generic term. You don't have to. You could be having issues that are not.
It's usually poop is what it usually
is. Is it though?
Yeah. You make the Brown go down. You get, when you flush the toilet, the Brown goes down.
Yeah.
That's what I envision, okay, when I say making the Brown go down, okay? So, and if it's not going down, you need Billy. You need him bad.
Or also if you have a clogged sink.
Yeah, clogged sinks, water pressure.
Moving gas lines.
A water heater that doesn't work.
Maybe you've got a fancy bidet that you'd like to. You say, "I just got a bidet and I need a water line put in by my toilet." Billy Brown can do that. He's not a fancy person, but he can do fancy things.
What about a gas grill?
Yeah,
you need a plumber.
He's not a fancy person, but he does fancy things.
He does fancy things. He does, and he does, you know, stuff that makes your house not gross, like the Brown going down. 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.